ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to another episode of Nosebleeds. Nick Guzman here alongside Evan Harkin and Bradley Byrne making his podcast debut for WFUV. Excited to have you, Bradley. We're, as the other sports here start to wind down, the Stanley Cup Finals, the NBA Finals, baseball is beginning to take center stage again as we get into the summer months. And for the Mets and Yankees, it's been a different story, but also plenty of other news to talk about in baseball. But first off, I'll start with you, Evan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. A little bit worse watching Clay Holmes blow his fourth save of the season as a Yankee fan. But I was at the Mets game last night. I know you were there earlier this week, Nick. Like I said, it's rough sometimes watching a Mets-Marlins game, but the Mets ended up getting that W, you know, 10-4 in that one. But overall, been a pretty good week for me so far.
Bradley, how you doing?
It's been a pretty good week, especially seeing the Mets blow out the Marlins yesterday. It was very exciting to watch.
Yeah, and the game that I was at on Tuesday, that was my first Mets game since I'd been away in London this past semester. It was also the Mets' first game since they were away in London this past weekend playing the two games against the Phillies. So I think we'll start talking a little bit about this Mets team. And that London series, I think in my eyes, I viewed it as a way. You know, I don't really know what goes on in the clubhouse and how these trips work and what comes out of them. But from the outside looking in, it seems like it could be an opportunity for a group to get closer, going to a foreign country, playing two games on foreign soil against an arch rival. And they split the series that Sunday game, really going down to the wire. It took a beautiful double play from Luis Torrens to secure that victory. But Evan, I'll start with you. That London series against the Phillies, first off, what did you see about it? And did you view it in the same way that I did, is that it could be a way for this Mets team that's kind of been stuck in the mud for most of this season as a way to sort of launch forward and maybe make a playoff push potentially?
Yeah, 100%. It's always good when you're struggling to kind of, like you said, find new boundaries, find a new environment. They haven't been playing much better in Citi Field than they have in any other ballpark particularly anyway. So it definitely seems like it was good for them to, you know, maybe even get out of the United States a little bit. Splitting a series with the Phillies is not something I would have expected the Mets to do, especially at this point right now. But I think a big player we saw in that series was Mark Vientos, and how different he's kind of made this Mets team so far since Brett Beatty. Not that Beatty wasn't playing terribly, but Vientos is playing really good. He leads the team in OPS right now. He's been having a great batting average since coming in, 5 home runs already, and he hasn't played that many games. You've seen the impact he's made. Starling Marte starting to find his footing a little bit, you know, getting that average above 280 now. Lindor finding his spot. You know, Alonso's still struggling with strikeouts, but that's what you're going to get from a power hitter. So I think we're really starting to see the Mets team that they actually truly are. I don't think they were as terrible. They are as terrible as they were earlier on in the season when Lindor was 0 for 32. Marte couldn't do anything at the plate, and we know he's really bad in the field anyway. But I think we're starting to see these players actually come into their true identity and show you that the Mets are mid. They're not that bad.
And they might be mid and not that bad, but I think when you watch this team in the ninth inning, in the bottom of the ninth, top left, whatever it is, whether they're on the road or at home, it's so hard for this team to get 27 outs. Edwin Diaz is coming back from the injured list today, actually, as we record this on Thursday. He struggled so much before they put him on that injured list, but kind of seems like he's going to go back into that closer role. It's kind of been closer by committee since he struggled and went down, and it hasn't really worked out. They haven't really had anybody to step up and, you know, take that ninth inning and really run with it. But I think as you look at this Mets lineup and they become more and more productive, it's a lot of reason to hope. And you feel like if Diaz can just find some of that form that he had 2 years ago, we're not asking him to be the best reliever in baseball, but just someone who can provide a steady, you know, sense of stability in that ninth inning. You feel like this Mets team could potentially be in a place to make a run when you think that they're only 3.5 games out of the wild card, but they've got so many teams to hop over to get there. I'm curious for you, Bradley, where do you see this Mets team in this current moment? Because it feels like they should be a lot further back in this playoff race than they are, but then you look at the numbers and it's only 3.5 games, despite, all the teams they do have to hop over.
I'm actually going to kind of build off what Evan said, like, especially like winning in London against this Phillies team. Like, the Mets came off that series sweep against the Nationals in Washington, so they kind of had like a boost of like confidence going into the series. But then obviously when you lose a game by five, like, you kind of like it motivates you that you don't want to get swept by the Phillies, because then everybody's going to hold that against them. It's like, oh, they got swept by Philly, they're done for, whatever, this and that. But I feel like Sunday was really like a statement win, like winning on foreign soil, especially in the whole bottom of the ninth inning. I was holding my breath that entire time, because when Alec Baum got that RBI walk, I'm like, okay, please just, I'm hoping for a prayer, because obviously with the Mets, whatever can go wrong will go wrong. So just seeing them take that Sunday's game in London, I feel like should give the Mets like, more confidence, especially after today. They got Padres and then they got the Rangers. So they have a little bit of a up and down way to finish out the month, but I think Mets will finish out this month strong. I have faith in my team.
And then you talk about all the momentum building after the London series. And then I was at the game Tuesday, and they really laid an egg. They played not an energetic game at all. They had four hits. The top of the lineup in Nimmo or Alonso, Nimmo, Alonso, and in Lindor, when it combined 0 for 12 and really just not very energetic. But the big story from that game was getting Francisco Alvarez back from the injured list, a huge boost for this lineup. But something I want to touch on, Evan, is the home and road splits for this Mets team, because it's almost unfathomable how much worse they are at Citi Field compared to anywhere else, even if that is London. It seems like on the road, they're so much of a better team than they are at home. Yes, we know Citi Field is a pitcher's park and the park factors come into things, but it seems, even if you look at individually, a guy like Jeff McNeil has been so much worse at Citi Field than he has been on the road. Is there any explanation for that? Because I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how these splits come around, because a lot of the times in sports, it's the other way around.
Right, I think it has a little bit to do with the pitcher's park, because the Mets' bigger issue is they're letting up 4.5 runs a game on average. Their hitting isn't terrible. They're around 14, 15, middle of the pack in terms of offense. Their defense has been a lot worse. I think they're 22nd in the league right now in terms of ERA against opponents. So I think having a park that favors pitching helps a team that struggles with defense a little bit. But I think a little bit is also the Citi Field fans kind of haven't been coming to show out this year. A lot of games I've been at seem like an away game. I know the Dodgers seem to do that at every stadium, that, it's the Dodgers. But I've seen the Braves do that. I saw the Diamondbacks do that, where a lot of times you hear chants for the other teams louder than you do for the Mets. The stadium isn't as filled as it typically is. Maybe, Mets fans getting a little down on their team. Maybe it's just early on in the season. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but it definitely seems like there's a little bit of fan factor, and then the defensive factor goes into the Mets just playing better at parks where it's a little harder for opposing pitchers to have much better games than their pitchers are.
And Citi Field attendance has been down this season, which is something interesting. You feel like if this team is to put together a run, the fans will show out. They always do. The Mets have a big fan base, even if they don't necessarily, show up every night in droves at Citi Field. But I think the last thing I want to touch on with this Mets team is, are they in a position to potentially make a run? Because it towards that third wild card, because it's they're only 3.5 games back. They got Edwin Diaz back. They've got Francisco Alvarez back from the injured list. It seems like sticking with Mark Vientos at third base has given a spark to the offense, even if it is a little bit detrimental to the defensive side of things. You sacrifice that in order to get that extra, effective bat in your lineup. So, Bradley, I'll go to you. Do you think that this Mets team is in a position to potentially make a run at that third wild card? Because you look at these standings. Yes, they have so many teams to hop over, but right now it's the San Francisco Giants tied with the Cardinals for that third wild card spot. But behind them, you got the Reds, the Cubs, the Pirates, the Nationals, the D-backs, and then the Mets. Only two teams below the Mets in the National League. but still only 3.5 games back. Bradley, do you believe in this Mets team, and do you think that they have the potential to maybe make a postseason run as this summer moves along?
I'm going to say yes because we talk about how good the Mets are on the road. They have a winning record on the road, and the majority of their July games are all, most of them are all on the road. So if they can keep up their good efficiency on the road by winning some of these tough series, you start to, and then other teams start to lose, you start to consider like, are the Mets for real this year? Are they going to make a run? Will they make a deep run? We obviously don't know, but I feel like because the Mets are obviously better on the road, July will be a testament to whether they really can step up or not. Because although Citi Field is a great place to play and all this, but somehow I'm even surprised myself that the Mets are doing better on the road. But as I said, I think July is going to be the make or break for the Mets if they want to really show that they can make a run. Although they're only three and a half games behind, they're still, it's so close that like, you know, two wins can move you up or two losses can move you down. So it's really just up to everyone just has to step up. And the way they've been playing on the road this season, I know they're only 15 and 14 on the road, but if they can steal some crucial like games and win series down the line, I think they really have a good shot at making a run and getting that last wild card spot.
I think it's possible, but it's not probable right now. I think a big part of that is getting that spark in Vientos. If the Mets lineup looked like it did with Brett Beatty in there, I'd say no right now. And then getting Francisco Alvarez back, his batting average is below 240 right now, but he's played such little games that, for example, I saw him get a single and it raised like 12 points. So that's a small sample size. We know the damage he can do. He led the NL last year in home runs by a catcher with 25. This guy can get runs in, which the Mets need and have needed this whole season. So Diaz coming back with these new reinforcements, that kind of is what's making me think it's possible. Why I don't think it's probable is I think the Diamondbacks and the Pirates and the Giants will all finish with a better record than the Mets and have that spot, that third spot in the wild card. I think the Braves and the Padres are there to stay. I also think the Cubs and the Reds are very close to the Mets. I don't think the Mets are really setting themselves apart from the pack right now, but because of their recent kind of, like I said, shift into the mediocre level from the bad that we've seen in this past 2 weeks, I'm going to say it's possible.
Because I think that you talk about Alvarez and how much of an impact he has. I saw the stat this morning that before his injury, the Mets had a 2.15 ERA. In the 2 months he was gone, that was doubled when he was gone. So I feel like now that he's back in the lineup and can he's at 100%, he says he's ready to go. I believe it. I think the Mets can make a run because Alvarez, I think, is going to be a huge piece that the Mets need. If he can play well and everyone else steps up, I really think they have a shot. It's, as you said, Evan, it's possible, but not probable. But all we can do at this point is just hope that the Mets can have a strong July because most of the games are on the road. So I feel like July is really the most crucial month for the Mets right now.
Right, I love that defensive stat. I didn't even think about the defensive side of the what Francisco Alvarez brings because he's such a good offensive player. But I have noticed now that you bring that up how much teams have been stealing on the Mets, which can obviously tank your ERA or raise it in the wrong direction. Tomas Nito and Omar Narvaez obviously not starting catchers really in the MLB, so a lot of teams were taking advantage of that on the base pass. You were able to see the pitchers weren't used to pitching against him, so I really love what you were saying about the defense there, really just bringing the whole team together with Alvarez coming back.
And it's definitely a big boost. When you look at the Mets' schedule for the next month, it is favorable. But I think for me, I'm going to have to agree with the consensus that it's not probable. Just considering it's one thing being 3.5 games back of a team, in a division race, you got one team to hop over, and they lose, you win, you gain a game, and vice versa. But when there's six, seven teams ahead of you, there's just so much that has to go right. And it seems like at this point for the Mets, you can't even be looking at the wild card race, in my opinion, because of just how the volume of teams that are there. Start stacking up some wins, start winning some series, maybe put some sweeps together, and then you can maybe look at where you stand in a month's time or so. And David Stern just talked about, they're open to selling at this trade deadline, but this team, if they put a good run together in the next month or so, they might have to force his hand to not be sellers, although they very well may end up doing so. On the Yankees side of things, switching across town to the Bronx, where fortunes have been much, much better. Over the weekend, it was a much anticipated series with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Dodgers eventually take two out of three. And then the Yankees in Kansas City this week, where they win the first three games of the series, but today they were down 2-0 in the eighth inning, but an eighth inning rally, a single from Juan Soto gives them the 3-2 lead, but Clay Holmes can't hold on to the lead in the ninth inning. He was one strike away from winning it. A double ripped down the third baseline, scores two, and the Kansas City Royals, having a very good season themselves, take the final game of the series, winning it 4-3. Evan, I'll start with you. This has been a very, you know, noteworthy week for the Yankees for a couple reasons. You know, Juan Soto at the end of last week picking up that injury that worried a lot of people, missed a couple games, back now. But first, starting with that Dodgers series, you know, a potential World Series matchup. You can't forget about the Philadelphia Phillies, who have been just sort of steamrolling through the National League. But talent-wise, probably two of the most talented squads in baseball going head-to-head under the lights of Yankee Stadium. What'd you see out of that Dodgers series first?
I think you saw some of the chinks in the Yankees' armor, which as a Yankee fan, I kind of enjoyed seeing, because I think this Yankee team kind of needed a little bit of humbling. You needed to see what the issues were going to be, because we all know this is a long season. We all know it's a long postseason, and they were playing, besides, you know, the Orioles, a bunch of series, they were playing some teams that they're really not going to see in the postseason. And like you said, the Dodgers, a team that absolutely should be in the World Series. I mean, that lineup's stacked. Shohei Ohtani's been no short of amazing that he has been the last two seasons. But kind of what I mentioned in the chinks of the armor, where the Yankees benched Anthony Rizzo. They didn't use the word bench. They used the word days off, because you don't want to say that in a media conference. But they gave him 2 days off following the Dodgers series because he played atrociously. I don't think he had a hit, maybe one or two, but he's been struggling all season long. They really haven't gotten anything on the corners. DJ LeMahieu and Anthony Rizzo kind of been the standout, only bad pieces that the Yankees have been showing. I know Juan Soto obviously wasn't really in that series, not the biggest deal for the Yankees to lose a series to probably the second or third best team in the MLB without Juan Soto in the lineup. So I think showing that the Yankees are kind of human, that they have flaws in their lineup, Anthony Rizzo kind of being one of those things. Maybe you want to look for someone at the deadline. I know Pete Alonso has been a guy in trade talks with the Yankees and Mets. I'm sure that really doesn't get done. But if the Yankees want to find somebody that they can slot into that spot, if Anthony Rizzo is continuing to be poor that he has recently, and then just showing you that maybe getting Jason Dominguez will be back. I know Trent Grisham hit that huge home run, but he also failed to lay down a crucial bunt earlier on in that series. So you saw he's hitting under 200 as well. So like I said, long series, guys like Verdugo, Judge, and Soto are not going to be available for games. So you need some depth behind them to be able to go against the big boys like the Dodgers.
And you know that this Yankees pitching staff is going to be, you know, up there with the best of them at the end of the season. Right now, the best staff ERA in baseball at 2.90, and that is without their ace, without Gerrit Cole, doing all this good work pitching-wise. Puts you in a good spot, you know, no matter what the offense is going to do down the stretch, you know, to win games and make a run at a World Series. But I think when you talk about this series against the Dodgers exposing some things for the Yankees, I'd agree with that. I think there's a couple holes in this offense, like you mentioned, that are addressable at the trade deadline, which I think is the good thing about it, is that I think one or two trades at this deadline to bolster up this Yankees offense. And I mean, they're already probably the best team in baseball right now, besides maybe the Phillies. You could maybe make an argument either way. Definitely the best team in the American League. So I think, you know, maybe a trade here or there at the deadline to really bolster up this offense. But when you think about just how good this pitching staff has been from top to bottom, you know, a guy like Carlos Rodon, who many Yankee fans kind of wanted to throw out of town last season after what happened, and to bounce back this year with a sub-3 ERA, it seems like almost every starter of this Yankee staff is a sub-3 ERA, which is incredible to think about. And Bradley, when you look at this Yankees team and sort of these last two series, do you agree with Evan that the Dodgers series kind of exposed a couple things offensively that this team will need to address down the line? Or do you think they're still sitting pretty as the best team in baseball.
I'm gonna actually go with the second option. I think they're sitting pretty as the best team in baseball. Like I know, although I don't like the Yankees as a Mets fan, I feel like you can't really judge entirely based off the Dodgers Yankees series because Juan Soto didn't play. I feel like if he played in the first game, I really think the Yankees would have won that game on Friday when it went to the 11th inning and the Dodgers scored to win in overtime. But yeah, although Juan Soto didn't play, you can't really say like, oh, the Yankees are they can't beat the Dodgers. That's it. Because think about it. If Juan Soto played, I really think the Yankees would have won this series because Juan Soto has been one of the best players this entire season. So I feel like he's been the key piece to this Yankees team. So not seeing him play. Oh, actually, I went to the game on Friday, so seeing him not play was a little bit disappointing, but I mean, what are you gonna do? It's better to sit him if he has an injury than play him and it gets worse and then he misses more time. And I'm taking a look at the Yankees schedule for the rest of June, and they have a really, really difficult schedule. They're going up against they got the Red Sox after this Royal Series, and then you got the Orioles and Braves. So I feel like this month for the Yankees is gonna be arguably the hardest month for them. So if they can finish this month strong, I think it'll show that the Yankees are really the best team in baseball and they can maybe even win a World Series.
Evan, I want to ask you, because as a Yankee fan, you've seen so many. You've seen 2022, where this team started so well. I think 53-17 was the number, and then it just kind of went slowly, slowly downhill from there. And then a disappointing, postseason at the end of it. So, of the Yankee teams sort of that you've seen in your lifetime, it's so early. It's still June, but how high are you on them right now as a group?
I like how you brought up 2022 because it's a great representation of how this season's going so far. And that's another reason why I mentioned I like seeing them get humbled because one thing they failed to do in 2022 is do anything at the trade deadline. They thought they were all set. This was, I think, right around they were falling apart, maybe even afterwards, but they thought they were all set. We're just going to ride with this. And then you saw that obviously did not work at all in the postseason. So I was hoping that this past series maybe let the Yankees know you still have work to do. The job's not finished. They're, like I said, chinks in his armor, but I do think that they're a lot better than that 2022 team. And I think a big reason for that not only is the pitching staff, but also is this lineup with Anthony Volpe and Juan Soto. I think Volpe deserves a little bit more credit than he's been getting. Obviously, Soto and Judge, the two big guys, but Volpe's right up there with OPS. I mean, he's the perfect leadoff hitter right now. He's got a good average. He stretches everything into an extra base. He steals every time he's on. He's kind of this something that this Yankee lineup lacked was him playing well, having a shortstop, a leadoff hitter in 2022, a guy that can do other things besides hit home runs. And then obviously we didn't have Juan Soto in 2022. It was Aaron Judge or nothing. If Aaron Judge had a bad game, the Yankees were losing, and Aaron Judge had a bit of a slump, and that's why the Yankees went into a slump. Now, when you have Juan Soto, another top five hitter in baseball, like we saw earlier on, when Aaron Judge is playing poorly, Juan Soto can absolutely take this lineup for himself and lead the team. Like, Giancarlo Stanton's really just a power hitter. I know he's been crushing 450-foot home runs these last couple of games, but you can't rely on Giancarlo Stanton to supply for your lineup the way you can Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. And I think Anthony Volpe has just been just a great key factor adding on to those two players. So I do think that this is a different team than 2022. I don't think they'll fall apart in the same way, but I do think that they have work to do still at the trade deadline.
And
And you talk about
go
Juan
ahead, Pat.
Soto, how much of a help he's been to this team. He's fifth in batting average, fourth in RBIs, sixth in home runs, and second in runs. So I feel like, especially since think about it, you pair Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, two of arguably the best baseball players in the world together, I feel like they will do better than 2022 because obviously everyone has stepped up and the roster is better. But although you said you have to be prepared for the worst with the Yankees, especially since what happened in 2022, but I feel like they have a better shot this year for sure than they did in 2022. Because now, when the roster gets better, you expect them to go further. So, especially, like I said, Juan Soto having a historic season, possibly MVP caliber season. I think this Yankees team, for I think their floor honestly is the ALCS. I am really high on this Yankees team, as much as obviously I hate to admit it. I have to keep it real. I think Yankees versus Dodgers are going to be the World Series, in my opinion. I know it's kind of a basic, bland pick, but I can't doubt the Dodgers, obviously. And I think the Yankees, if I had to choose right now between Yankees and Dodgers to win it all, I really think I'd pick the Yankees. I'm very high on this team, and I think this is the year where they need to get it done, especially pairing two of the best players in the world. Like, you expect to win the championship. I mean, I know the Dodgers have a big four over there, but if the Yankees can beat the Dodgers, that can prove to a lot of people that the Yankees are, like, for real, and they can – I think they will definitely – their floor, honestly, is ALCS, in my opinion. I don't see them getting bounced before then. If they do, then I'd be very surprised. And honestly, that would be probably a bigger disappointment than 2022, especially with the stacked roster you have now.
And Evan, I'm glad you brought up Anthony Volpe, because there's so many times where a young player with a lot of potential that a lot of people have high hopes for will come into his first year and kind of have a year like Volpe did, where offensively it wasn't quite there, defensively elite, no question. But the next season, the sophomore season, you just naturally expect them to take that progression. And so often it doesn't happen. And there's a sophomore slump, and, you know, improving offensively isn't that linear sort of rise that everyone expects. But for Volpe to actually take that step forward this year and be that piece at the top of the lineup that the Yankees were missing, it's so, so big for what they're trying to do.
Yeah, like the chicken parm dinner. I don't know if you guys remember from last year, but Anthony Volpe had a dinner with Austin Wells, his very good friend. They played together in Somerset. And it was kind of alarming that the Yankees hitting coach or staff couldn't figure this out, but that someone in the minor leagues had to do it. They really fixed his stance and told him he used to bat way more closed and he used to follow the ball much better with his eyes. And then it was like a flip of the switch. Anthony Volpe was a totally different player after that hitting adjustment, but he's been a totally different player from that player this season. And I think a big part of that is his work ethic. If you talk to anyone in the Yankee staff, they mention all the time that Volpe is the first one in, last one out type of guy. He's been working with the Yankees hitting staff the most out of anyone on the team all of last season. And you can really see it. The big thing is his command of the strike zone. He's working much more walks. He's whiffing way less. He's looking at close pitches, really keying in on that fastball, keying in on when to swing the bat, hitting the ball all over the field, whereas he was really just pulling the ball, hitting a lot of flyouts last year. Now he's getting line drives with his speed, he can turn into triples pretty easily, take a bag, like I said earlier. But Anthony Volpe, like you said, just improved so much from last season. It's been awesome to see, especially because it seems to be a product of the work he's been putting in.
And for the Yanks, they'll head to Boston this weekend for a much-anticipated series with the Red Sox. But I think another thing I want to touch on, we've got about 10 minutes left here, is the Atlanta Braves, who, a team that has struggled a lot in this last month, so much so that their GM, Alex Anthopoulos, had a meeting before the game yesterday against the Orioles, just sort of to address the media and just kind of smooth talk a little bit, saying that, hey, we understand we're struggling, but we still believe that they're going to turn this around. They've lost 23 of their last 39, 17 of their last 26. But I think, Evan, it says a lot about the Atlanta Braves standards that they're still 36-30, first in the NL wildcard, and they're having a meeting like that. It seems like if that happens for a team like the Mets, they're already down in the dumps and the season's over. So it says a lot about the Braves standards that they're sort of approaching this slump in that way. But I think they've lost Acuna Jr. for the season with a torn ACL. Huge loss. But also, when you think about the rest of this Braves lineup and guys who absolutely mashed last year, just have not done the same thing this year. You know, whether it's someone like Austin Riley, who was so good last season, now he's got a 633 OPS batting, just 225 this year. Matt Olson, nowhere near as good as he's been in the past for the Braves. And when you put all these together, it's kind of an offense that was expected to totally mash, hasn't really done that. And, you know, as such, they're in this slump right now.
Yeah, I really like the way they're approaching the slump. Like you said, I think the Mets clubhouse would be dancing and ecstatic if they were in the position that the Braves are. But it's good to hold yourself to that standard and realize a fire's coming before it's too late. I love the way that they're approaching this little slump they're going through. But I don't think much of it's going to stop. I mean, the only player showing what he showed last year, or even better, is Marcell Ozuna batting over 300 with an 1,000 OPS. He's fourth in batting average, third in RBIs, and third in OPS. He's the reason the Braves are even still in the wild card spot right now. But losing Ronald Acuna is huge. Not only does this guy mash, he steals bases. He's great in the field. He's the leader in that dugout. He's the face of the franchise. It's more than losing a player when you lose your captain the way Ronald Acuna is. I honestly fear for the Braves, especially when it's your whole lineup and it's not just a couple of guys. It's not some of your best players in slumps. It seems to be their whole lineup just not producing the way they did last season. And then the worst thing that can happen when all that happens is for your leader to go down and be out for the season. So if you're the Braves, I think you're not hunting the Phillies anymore. You want to stay in that wild card race. And I think they're struggling a little bit right now, and I don't see them coming way out of it too soon, honestly.
And I think a stat that really sort of ties together just how bad this offense has been, 845 team OPS in 2023, which is unbelievable. 704 this year is the team OPS. Just the offense has fallen off a cliff for these Braves. And I agree with you, Evan. I think although some people might laugh at Anthopoulos talking to the media as a maybe a little bit of an overreaction, I think he just sort of sees the writing on the wall a little bit that this team isn't performing anywhere near to the same level as they have in the last couple of seasons. And that, realistically, the division's lost and they got to just try to stay on top of this wild card race to get, a home series in that opening round of the playoffs. But Bradley, I'm curious your assessment of the Braves, as a team that's been such a thorn in the Mets' side over, pretty much ever, if we're being honest. Forever, they've been a thorn in the Mets' side. But things not going so well down south. Oh, you're on mute there, Brad. Bradley, you're on mute. All good there, brother. So what do you think of these Braves?
So if I'm being honest, I'm so glad that the Braves are been mediocre. It's like heaven, because all these years of just the Braves constantly beating the Mets year after year after year, it's just relieving just to see them finally, the karma has come back to them. And especially since they just got, although they beat the Orioles today, they really have been struggling, especially when you have your general manager saying that your team hasn't been good and needs to step up. I watched the media conference from the general manager. Just seeing him say those words was just music to my ears. I'm so glad that the Braves are finally like mediocre, especially like looking at their offensive stats. They've dropped in almost everything. So finally seeing just the karma come back to them is just probably the most exciting thing that's happened this entire season.
Yes, yeah, so sometimes it is fun to be a hater, and I'm not gonna lie. I have kind of I agree with Bradley. It has been a little bit cathartic to see the Braves struggle in this way. But as they struggle, the Phillies sort of come through and become the best team in the National League. So you can't have everything at once as a Mets fan. But I think that will just about wrap it up for this episode of Nosebleed. Bradley, great job on your first podcast episode. Here's to many more for WFUV. But for Nick Guzman, Evan Harkin, and Bradley Byrne, that will do it for this week's episode of Nosebleeds. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Mm-hmm.